Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and happy new year to all that are going to listen to this podcast. I am your host, Dr. Tan. Again, this is I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, and tonight I just wanted to give you a few nuggets as we have entered into a new year, a new day, one that we have never seen before. And I just want to make sure that I give you these nuggets for the new year. This podcast is going to be entitled, He Will Do a New Thing in 2025. Again, this podcast is entitled, He Will Do a New Thing in 2025. There's so much for us to be grateful for when we think about how far God has brought us. And as we look back over our life, we could have a tendency to feel like we have not arrived at where we think we should be. But there's no mistake about it. We are definitely blessed and better off than where we used to be. And we owe that all to our Lord and Savior for blessing us beyond measure, even when we don't deserve it. And so when you think about where you are now, as you set in a new year, think about a whole different perspective, a whole different shift. And so my message is going to kind of touch basis on Isaiah 40:19, and that reads, remember ye, and I'm going to start at verse 18, 43 and 18, and go into 19. It says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So the slogan for tonight's, or the declaration, maybe not the slogan, but the declaration for tonight's podcast is, He will do a new thing in 2025. But of course, we have to do some work. And so I want to hit 3 points tonight, and then I'm going to let you go. Hit 3 points. The first point I want to make is you have to do it a different way. In other words, you have to do it God's way and get out of your own way. And let me tell you what that means. We are so used to doing it our way. And if you've ever been in the practice of doing something for a set amount of time and you don't see any positive results, okay? Because anything you do, there are going to be results. Either they're going to benefit you or they're going to be a detriment to you. So if you're not yielding positive results, then there's time for a change. And so the first point is you have to do it a different way, which is God's way, and get out of your own way. Now, how do we do that? So in 2025, we've started a new year. The first thing we got to do is have a new mindset. Okay. You have to have a new mindset. And so what do you say to a new mindset? A new mindset is when you have made up in your mind that you want to change, because it's easy to say it, but it's another thing to do it. And so if we're being honest with ourselves, we have to change the way we think. You can't expect to get something else if you're still doing it the same way. So what does that mean? If you have been praying, or maybe not praying, let me give you an example. And I'm gonna use myself as in the example. So the other night, maybe 3 or 4 days ago, I was not feeling well. I don't know what was happening, but our church had wash night service. Went to the wash night service, came home, felt great, brought the new year in, praising God and thanking Him for what He has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do. And then the next day, I felt really sick. I don't know if it was the stomach bug or what was going on, but I didn't feel my best. And for a couple of days, I was just sick at my stomach. Didn't know what was going on. I was, you know, had medicine, taking medicine. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking and I'm praying, and something said, or the Holy Spirit said, touch where you are hurting and speak healing. And so that's exactly what I did. I touched my stomach because, like I said, it was feeling all nauseous. And, you know, they got all these different, doing, you know, when it's the winter time, you have all these different things happening, all these different illnesses, different sickness. And so they got this stomach bug that's going around. I don't know if that's what it was, but immediately that nauseating feeling, once I started speaking healing over myself, it loosened just like that. And I then realized, not that I don't do it, I just don't do it consistently as I should, that we have the power to speak life. He says death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have the power to speak to any mountain. He says if you speak to the mountain, it could be cast into the sea. That's what it says. It will be cast into the sea. Luke 10 and 19 says, behold, I have given you the authority to tread on serpents. Excuse me. We have the authority to speak it. And so that told me that my mindset for 2025 had to shift. I could no longer have faith. It's one thing to have faith. It's another thing to activate it. How do you activate the faith? The Bible says, scripture tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. But it also tells us that faith without works is dead. In other words, we have to work our faith. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But so immediately, I realized, you know, I'm going to have to change the way I do things. You know, it's kind of like going through school. And so you go through school and then you pass your test and then you go to the next level. Well, in the spiritual realm, we too as believers have to move up in our faith walk and our journey to where we're not as bogged down or caught off guard by certain things that we are used to going through because we have graduated from that. In other words, we should be growing through the process. And when I say growing through instead of going through, so yes, you're going to go through some things, but while you're going through it, you need to grow through it too. In other words, when you come out of it on the other side, you should have grown in wisdom. You should have, your faith should have increased. You should be a little bit different or more spiritually mature than you were before going through that process. You have to grow through the process, and it's very important. And so point number one was, got to do it a different way. So, and do it God's way, because we've been doing it our way and not getting the results. And so one thing, Romans 12 and 2 says, 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, in order to transform ourselves, we got to renew our mind. And we have to renew our mind with the things of Christ. Because if we don't renew our mind with the things of Christ, guess what happens? Then the power that we have is not gonna reach the magnitude that God has given us, that has been instilled in us. We have the power to speak life. We have the power to speak to the mountain. We have the power to tread on serpents. We have the power to call things or to speak things into existence. We have the power, but we don't use it. And so he will do a new thing, but first we have to do it God's way. We got to study his word, stand on his promises, and declare what he has given us. We have to declare it. He already told us what we need to declare. We already have the victory. We have to declare it until we see it. It's already done, but we have to declare it. So point number one, we have to do it a different way, which is God's way, and get out our own way. Our way is not working. We've been doing it for 10 years. It's not working. If you're having issues in your relationship and you've been doing it this way and not including God in your plan and it's not working out, then maybe you should try doing it the way that he has instructed for us to do it, so that you can see the results that you're wanting to see. Because I'm a firm believer that if you continue to do it your way, then you're not going to see the results the way that, or the results that you want to see. Because the only way you get those results is if you do it God's way. He says obedience is better than sacrifice. He said he rewards those that diligently seek him. That leads me to point number two. You have to speak it until you see it. You have to speak it until you see it. And that's part of renewing the mind. It's changing your mindset, you know, because it's so easy to complain when things are not going the way you want to. I'm guilty of that sometimes. But the scripture says to do all things without complaining, which, you know, because complaining a whole lot and not being grateful is a sin too. It's just complaining. And it's easy to get in that state of complaining because, you know, we have our mindset on this is what it should be. This is how it should be. We expect things to go a certain way and then it doesn't happen that way. And then we get upset and then we start to complain. Or maybe things are happening. Maybe it's not something that we're trying to do, but things are just happening. Life is happening. And then something takes place and then we get upset and it's easy to complain. And it's nothing wrong with having emotions. It's okay to be disappointed or to be upset as long as we don't act out in that. And as long as we don't act out in the anger, like we don't take the anger and put it into practice. In other words, I can be upset, but I don't have to act out on being upset because we're human. But we don't have to act on our anger. We don't have to act on our frustration. We have to be better stewards of our emotions. Our emotions are so fluid, like they vacillate back and forth. One minute we could be sad, the next minute we could be happy. And so it's so important not to respond in your emotional state, because your emotional state is not really a true depiction of who you are when you are calm. It's a depiction of who you are when you are experiencing some type of trauma or some type of life event. And so that one moment, if you respond in that one moment out of that particular emotion, it could cost you everything. And so it's always good to try not to respond when you are in an emotional or on an emotional roller coaster, to respond when you are calm and you've had a chance to think about it and to weigh out your options, your pros and cons. Is this going to benefit me or is this going to be a detriment to me? And so, but speaking it until you see it, Romans 4 and 17 says to call those things which do not exist as though they do. And so what does that mean? You know, and that goes into believing God's word. So if you're believing God for healing, like the Holy Spirit said, put your hand on your stomach and speak healing. And when I started to feel whatever it was that was making me feel nauseated, loosened, I said, Lord, I thank you. Because he just showed me that I had the power. He's given me the power to be victorious in every area of my life. And so you can do the same thing. You can speak healing over yourself. You can declare healing. You can believe it. You can believe healing for yourself. You can believe financial prosperity, deliverance. You can believe for your wayward children. Maybe they're not acting right now, but you can declare that they are where they need to be. You can speak that. You can speak it into existence. It might not look like that now, but you're not speaking to what you see, because faith is not what you see, it's what you believe. So you're speaking to what you believe. My children might be acting out now, but I thank you, Lord, that my children are following you, that they are allowing you to order their steps, that they are seeking you where you may be found. Same thing with healing and financial prosperity. If someone you know even is dealing with an addiction, you can speak deliverance of that addiction. You can speak deliverance from strongholds, from soul ties. You can speak deliverance from anger, resentment, hurt, sadness, depression, grief, whatever it is. You can call it as if it already is and allow the manifestation to become a reality. It will happen when the Lord says, Isaiah 60 and 22 says, I will make it happen when the time is right. And only God knows that time. And because there's a time and season for everything under the sun. There's a time for everything. And there's a time for God to allow you to reap the harvest that you've sown. It's a time for God to allow you to reap the harvest that you've sown and the blessings that he has for you. And so speaking it until you see it just means that, you know what, the report says this, but I'm believing God for this. So I'm going to speak what I believe. It does not mean that you're being naive to what the report says. It just is the same thing. If someone was dealing with a health issue, it's not saying that you're not believing the doctors. It's saying that God is the doctor of all doctors. And so that even though this report says this, I know that God can do this. I'm believing God for my healing. And even if he doesn't heal you the same way, and I had to come into an understanding of this, because I think sometimes, you know, when we think about healing, and I can use my own personal experience, when my oldest nephew passed of stage 4 cancer at the age of 30, we was praying for healing, and God did heal him. But he healed them on the other side. He healed him by healing him to the other side. He took him home. That's a healing. He's not suffering. And so I had to realize that healing sometimes means that God has a plan that maybe we don't understand in the time that it's happening, but God knows what's best. And so that was God's way of healing my nephew. And does that not mean that I miss him? I miss him all the time, but I'm thankful for the time we spent that God allowed him on earth. I'm thankful for his life and all the people that he impacted, but I'm mostly thankful for the fact that he's in no more pain. Because I wouldn't want to see him still suffering. It would be selfish of me to want to see him still suffering when God has given him peace and rest from all his suffering. And so it gave me a whole new outlook on what healing was. And that's why I say that was a process that I had to grow through to understand healing. In that situation for me. But whatever it is that you're asking God for, you can speak it into existence. And God is going to do what is best for you, your family member, or whoever it is that you're praying for, you believing for, what is best for them according to his purpose and will for their life and in his own timing. It's easy to get discouraged, though, because we're human. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to feel like it's not going to happen. It's easy to feel like we're going to run out of time. This is not going to happen anytime you think, or you're not going to be able to do this. But God can do more in 1 minute than we can do in our lifetime. And I was, you know, thinking about some things last night. Because life is so quick, it's but a whisper. And so God has given us enough time to fulfill the purpose that he has for us on this earth, that he has given us, that he is predestined for us to uplift his kingdom. And everybody has a set time. And I understand that. And I was sitting there thinking about all the things that God has allowed me to accomplish, and I'm grateful for that. And I was also thinking about the things that I have still listed as goals that I have, that I'm currently working toward. And I was just thinking, like, you know, I don't know how long it'd take to reach the goal. And you just kind of try to put things in perspective. And then I found myself trying to, because we do that sometimes. We'd be like, okay, so by this time we should be doing this. There's nothing wrong with setting real goals, you know, realistic goals. There's nothing wrong with setting goals and putting a time there, because then that turns the goal, you know, it's a dream once it's in your mind. And then when you put it on paper, it becomes a goal. But then once you put a date to it, now it becomes your project or something that you're actively working toward. So it makes it different. So now you've put it into practice, or you put it into work. And so I was just sitting there thinking, and so I was like, okay. So, and then I started thinking, well, man, maybe I should have started this earlier so I could be finished by this. And then I was listening to a sermon by Bishop G.E. Patterson. It popped up on my YouTube podcast, and I started listening to it, and it was entitled, It Will Come to Pass. And as I listened to it, that was God's way of reminding me it will come to pass when the time is right. It will come to pass. And it talked about everything that I was feeling at that moment. And so sometimes God will send a message to you when you feel like, maybe I'm not where I need to be. Even though you've been speaking it into existence, some of you probably have been speaking life over yourself, speaking into existence. You've been speaking, calling things to be, even though they're not. And it just seems like nothing is happening. But it is happening behind the scenes. And God reminded me, the Holy Spirit reminded me that last night, that it's happening. It's not happening maybe at the pace or the rate that you want it to happen. It might not be it looks like it's stagnant, but it's working out for your good. It's working out and it's going to spring forth when the time is right. It will come to pass. And I said, okay, I felt so energized. I was like, I wanted to jump around the room. I was excited because I needed to hear that. Because sometimes our timeline is not God's. And we want to microwave everything. We want to rush through the process. But if we rush through the process, we can't grow through it. We don't learn from it. And I've learned something too. That sometimes when we're dealing with difficult situations or even difficult people, and or people just getting on your nerves and they irritating you, and you know, when they come, you be like, oh my gosh, here they come again. Maybe that's a situation for you to grow through as well. Not maybe, I know it is. It is a situation for you to grow through. It's a situation for you to grow and get better with handling that individual so that you can still respond godly. It's putting your faith to a test. And in order for you to get big spiritual muscles, you have to grow through some things so that you can move to the next level of your spiritual journey. And so I challenge you tonight to think about those difficult people, difficult situations, and ask God, what is it that I need to learn from this situation? What is it that I need? How do I handle this person? What is it that I need to pray for them that they're dealing with? If I need to pray for them, what should I be praying for them? And then how do I pray for myself to not be, to be compassionate as far as praying that whatever it is that they're missing or lacking or whatever trauma or whatever is happening in their life that's causing them to react this way or to respond this way, that God can meet them where they need to be met too. Because when you really think about it, all of us are standing in the need of prayer. We all are grace cases. We all need God's love and protection, and we all need his guidance and direction. You know, God's mercies, his mercies are new every morning. Every morning we need it. We fall short every day. And so none of us have the right to think that we have arrived or that we are more than somebody else or that they just don't get it. But what we do understand is that everybody may not be at the same level spiritually that you are. And so we have to learn to be compassionate in that aspect as well as understanding, because there was a point in time where me as well as yourself were not where we are now spiritually, and someone had to give us grace and pray for us. And I'm not saying to let people mistreat you or to disrespect you. I'm just saying, understand that sometimes when we're having these issues, it is because we having difficult people. Maybe they are dealing with something. And a lot of times when people are dealing with things, not all the times, but some people, when they're dealing with things, they take it out on the next closest person to them, or they take it out on somebody else because they don't know how to handle whatever they're dealing with. And so we have to understand that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling with, Ephesians tell us, with spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we're dealing with, is these spirits. And so what we have to do is to fight the spiritual battle fair, and to fight it fair is to, they're guarded up with whatever it is, whatever spiritual issues that they're dealing with, but your word is your weapon. And that's how, that's the fair fight. And even though it's a fair fight, if your word is your weapon, then if the word is your weapon, then every time you will be victorious. And so you got to speak it into your see it, even with the difficult people, even on your job. If you're dealing with difficult situation, if you're dealing with backbiting, if you're dealing with backstabbing, plotting, whatever it is, speak it until you see it. Don't allow people to rob you of your peace. Don't allow anyone to steal your joy. Remember, the world can't give it to you, and they sure can't take it away. But what we have to do is to learn how to respond in God's way. As I'm going back to point one, we got to do it God's way. And when you do it God's way, it makes you feel so much better. You don't feel all frazzled. You're not upset. You're not stressed out, because what you have done is step back and allow God to represent you in the forefront instead of in the background. And that's what it's all about. And so the third point I want to make, and I'm not going to hold you long, is once you have renewed your mind, because we talked about that in Romans 12 and 2, and you transform your mind, you're thinking on things of a good report. That's what it tells us in Philippians 4:8. So whatsoever is pure, what is lovely, things that have a good report, any of these things that have virtue, these are the things that you praise. It says, think of these things. So, and you want to think of godly things, things that will please God. Cast down any negativity, any ill will, you know, anything that is not of God, you want to cast it down. And it talks about that. And also in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says to cast down every vain imagination and bring it under submission to God's word. In other words, cast it down. God is about peace. He's not an author of confusion. That's what scripture says. God is not the author of confusion. So anything that is not of God, cast it down. Denounce it. Put, you know, you don't have to acknowledge it as far as accepting it. You can, let me rephrase it. You can acknowledge that it's negative, but don't accept it, and cast it down, and then declare over your life the word of God, the promises of God. Number three, after you've decided to get out of your own way and do it God's way, and you are speaking it until you see it, now you got to walk it out. And scripture says that faith without works is dead. So in other words, if you don't work your faith, then what's going to happen? A lot of times we're waiting on God to do something for us. We want God to move in our life, and we ain't even moved off the couch. You know, it's kind of like if you got a goal to lose 10 pounds, you're like, God, I need you to, or Lord, I need you to help me with my weight journey, my weight loss journey. I need you to help me to get fit. I need you to help me be consistent with my healthy eating, but you're still eating all this junk food and you're still sitting on the couch. Then God is not going to do what you can do for yourself. God operates in the extraordinary, the supernatural. In other words, he does what you can't do, but he's not going to do what you can do for yourself. So we got to do better about doing our part, because we like to sit back and we just want him to orchestrate everything. And we just sit back and we don't have to put in any work. You got to put the work in. He says faith without works is dead, which means you got to put in the work. You got to do your part. And then if you take one step, they say, then he'll take two. That's what happens. But he's not going to take any steps and you just sitting there, because you haven't worked your faith. In other words, you're not believing that he can do it. You're sitting there waiting on something to happen, and you're not even contributing to it. How does that make it meaningful? So you got to walk it out. You got to activate your faith. And the way you activate it is to practice what you preach instead of preaching what you say you're going to practice. There's a difference. If you practice what you're preaching instead of preaching what you're going to practice, then what happens? You've activated your faith and you can walk it out. And when you do that, your faith swallows fear. If you're activating your faith, you don't have to worry about fear, because it's going to be gone. And when you activate your faith, guess what happens? When you declare the word, it dominates doubt. It destroys it. There's no way for doubt to creep in when you're standing on the promises of God. It's impossible. And so think about those things as you go into the new year. Get you some declarations, some things that you want to improve, some things that to improve your journey, your walk with Christ, to better your life in every area. And I want you to make some declarations. It doesn't matter what it looks like now. Doesn't matter how it looks, but I would advise you, or I would compel you to do so, and you will see a change happen. Because he wants to do a new thing in your life. And I can tell you this as I get ready to close, that it's your time. But in order for your time to come, you have to do your part. You have to get out of your own way and do it God's way. You have to continue to speak it until you see it. And then you have to walk it out. In other words, work your faith. And when you do that, he says that he's going to forget all the old things, all the former things, all the things in the past, all the negativity, all the failed attempts, all the things that didn't work out. And he says to look toward the future. Look at the things that are going to happen now. He says he will do a new thing. He says he will do a new thing. He says, behold, he will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. But you got to do your part. And if you do your part, it's going to be harvest time for you in 2025. I pray that this message was received. I pray that God continues to keep you, to continue to bless you. I pray that God pours out his abundant blessings over you. I lift up you and your family members, whatever you stand in the need of. I ask God to meet you there, but I also ask God to help you, the Holy Spirit, to help you daily to renew your mind so that you can receive all that he has for you and open up so he can you can have a window of blessings. Because let me tell you something about these blessings. You want to be able to open up every window, every door, whatever he has for you, where it's overflowing, overtaking you. And not just necessarily material things, because he says that he will give you all your needs, and then he will, if you seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, then he will add all these other things unto you. But the most important thing is to make sure that you're spiritually aligned with Christ so that you can make eternity your home. And so that's the most important thing. But God says that he wants to bless you even the more while you're here doing his will and his work. So I pray that you have a blessed night. Until we speak again, I'm your host, Dr. Tan. I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast. God bless and have a good night.